Talk about worship today. Right from the book of Hebrews. Thought of a scene from Tom Sawyer. You guys ever read Tom Sawyer? Seen the movie? Tom Sawyer had to go to church. And under the watchful eye of Aunt Polly. So they're in there watching the church service. And Tom's description of the church service talks about the announcements and describes them as a list that would stretch to the crack of doom. And the prayers, generous in its detail, and then yet had memorized them, so got offended if anything changed in them. You know, it is, it's a picture of boredom. It says, the preacher's sermon drones on monotonously through an argument that is so prosy that many a head begin to nod. You know, his description, have you ever had that experience in church? I can remember when I was a kid. I'm serious. You're in church and you're thinking about, okay, you know, gonna eat afterwards, gonna go have brunch, and you're counting the bricks in the wall, you know, looking through the hymnal to try to find the longest hymn, you know. I mean, there's all sorts of things that people do, right? You know, and rather than a positive experience, sometimes church is just a ritual to endure. And it is true that we cannot compete. There's no way that a church service can compete with the media. There's some things that are out there. How in the world are we going to compete with an Illini game? That's just not going to happen. You know, it's not reality. And you know, how are we going to compete with Disney World? Been to Disney World? Nope, not going to happen. You know, I mean, the reality is that we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we go to church? Why? I mean, what's the purpose of it? Some people go to church out of habit because they've always done that. And it was just a thing to do. But for most people in the world, for most people in this community, Sunday is a day to stay home. It's time to recuperate and relax. Saturday's been a busy day. And it's a day that you just chill and you get ready for the week. I mean, that's what it is. But yet for others, you know, going to church is this custom for people who prefer to keep tradition. You know, the book of Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that talks about the necessity to go to church. None of the other New Testament books talk about it. It just doesn't come up. In other books of the Bible, you know, it's just a given. In Acts, for example, it says, so they continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. But by the time the book of Hebrews is written, there's kind of this disturbing trend where people weren't so connected and they just weren't going to church. And in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer writes this. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so that much more, as you see the day approaching, we will gather. For me, I understand worship like this. It's not just a service that we do. It's not a human work. It's not something that people do, an effort that we do. I mean, it surely involves singing well. It certainly involves good prayers. It involves a good sermon. It involves keeping set times, because that's important. And if we don't do that, then it becomes a distraction to people and worship is more difficult. But you know, to give you an idea of how worship actually is, let me give you this analogy. Picture yourself as a narrow lane, of highway. And you're this narrow lane of highway, and on either side of you are big, tall, huge buildings that are extending up. And at the top of those buildings, you can see just a little strip of blue sky. You see this faint, beautiful blue sky up there. And you see it just for a couple minutes of each day. And you know, you begin to think as you're in all of the stuff like the traffic, the cars, the smells, the junk, everything that's going on, you begin to ask yourself, is that real? Is that strip of blue up there, is it really real? And after a while, the lane kind of ceases to think about it and doesn't wonder about it anymore. You know, a biblical example is from the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son had got into a lot of trouble, had made some really poor choices in his life, and yet in that situation, he had this tug in his heart that he could return to the Father. He had this idea that his Father would welcome him, and so he turned and went back to the Father. And the interesting thing in that story is as he's approaching the Father, the Father, from a long distance away, sees him coming and runs to him. And as the Son is coming closer, the Father is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we worship, as we draw near to God, God is drawing you into His presence. God wants to draw you into it. He wants you to receive from Him. He wants to pour into your life the blessings and the goodness that can only come from a beautiful, powerful, loving Heavenly Father through Christ. And He is drawing us into that. There's another example from the Old Testament where Moses, who was a murderer at this point, and ran away and was hiding in the wilderness. And he's being a shepherd there in the wilderness. And as he's there, he looks and he sees this burning bush. And God lit the bush on fire, but the bush did not get consumed. And he says in the text, he goes, that's the darndest thing I've ever seen in my life. He says, I'm going to turn and go look at that thing. And what it says right after that verse, when he turned, God turned to him. So God was just waiting. God was drawing him. And the minute that Moses turned to come to that bush, God turned to him. That was worship. That was worship. He was coming into God's presence, and God said, you know, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You are welcome. Come into my presence. Moses did not know what God was going to give to him. Moses did not have any idea what he was going to do. But when he turned, he received from God. When he turned, God came to him and he received. And we don't always think it's real. We don't always think that God is able to break into our situations. But He is going to break into your world, into your financial situation, into your marriage, into your relationships, into your workplace, into everything. That faint blue strip is up there, and it might seem distant, like God is not interacting, but it's not true. In worship, we're drawn near to God's presence, and He brings that fullness to us. The distance is not a problem for God at all. It was in worship that Moses received direction from God, go deliver the children of Israel. It was in a worship service where Paul and Barnabas were directed by God to go out and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It was in a worship service that John, he says, I was in worship on the Lord's day when John received the book of Revelation. It's where we receive from God. God accepts, as Dee Dee was saying, He just accepts anybody. He receives you, and He's drawing you in. And that can happen not only in a service like this, but it can happen at any time. Life is worship. Your life is worship to God. And it is so important. It is so crucial to you in your daily walk. You know, as I was saying at the beginning of service, when we worship, there are angels present. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're right here, right? It's just amazing. And not only that, but you know, when we worship, we just get to know God better. So much better. This book of Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that gives us a crystal clear view of God that everybody has. See, as you're reading in that readings, there are two views of God. There is Mount Sinai and there's Mount Zion. And every human being on earth has these views. Every human being is going to see God in one or two or both of those ways. And most people, unfortunately, only see the God of Sinai. They see the God of demands. They see the God that's going to judge them. They feel guilty for their sins. They might even feel sorry for Him. They might even regret. They might look at the times that they have failed, and they're bearing those failures and those hurts more than they really need to because they have not seen Zion. And Zion is the view that we have of God through Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful view. It's a view that God really wants us to see because he knows in our hearts our guilt just brings us to Zion or brings us to Sinai. It causes us to feel that pain of our sin, to cause us to feel our stress and our worry and our failures. And God wants to draw us to another view. He wants us to see the love of Jesus Christ and the freedom that he brings to us. Let me put this in a very practical way. Stop and think about this. Now, you've heard the call to Zion. You've heard the loving kindness of Jesus Christ. But you might have a family member that's never heard that. You might have a work person that you work with that has never heard that. They're fearful, they're frustrated, they're full of anxiety. They don't know if they're going through a sickness, if they're going through financial difficulty, they're going through a divorce, whatever it may be. They don't know that God wants to come to them and God wants them to come to him and that they can receive encouragement and strength and forgiveness. You see, these are views that people, God is drawing us. He's saying, come and worship. Come to Zion. Worship at Zion. You'll come to know God as he really, truly is in Christ. You know, and it's not only that, but there are so many people. You meet people. You meet hundreds of thousands, just millions of people who have put their faith and their trust in God and have seen God bring deliverance and strength and hope to them. And the book of Hebrews is talking about it. It says, we've come into this wonderful assembly. We've come into this grouping where you have Moses, you have Paul, you have Peter, you have all these people. And why do they stand out? They stand out because they trusted God. They just put their faith in God and they said, God, I'm going to trust you. I have a difficult thing with this. I have a difficult time dealing with this situation. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how things are going to turn out, but I'm going to trust you. And God says, that's righteousness to me. And they put their faith in him, and God says, awesome. And as a process, they get to know that God is their strength, God is their Savior, God is their deliverer, God is their hope. Worship, in worship, we come running like a prodigal. That's exactly what we do. And God is so happy to receive us. I heard this story that kind of helped me understand worship. It's an older one, but it shows how we are all connected amazingly in Jesus Christ. There was a radio personality called Ted Malone. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he died in the mid-80s. And he was on, he had a poetry show. He would read poetry on the radio. And, of course, radio used to be really big, of course, and people would tune in and listen. Well, Ted Malone got a letter from a lonely sheep herder, and he said to him, could you please, on your radio broadcast, strike an A? Because I'm all out in the middle of nowhere, and all I have is a violin, and it's horribly out of tune. And so during his radio broadcast, he struck an A, and then a little bit later got a thank you note from the shepherd. And he said, thank you very much, now I'm in tune. And worship for us with God's people, with Jesus Christ, is getting us in tune with our Lord and what he is bringing to your life, what he's bringing through your life to others, what he's working through Christ. It gives us the opportunity to tune in with God, to hear that beautiful melody. We need to hear that in our lives. Our lives is so full of all sorts of stuff that is not melodious, not good, not helpful. But God sings a song over you that he wants you to hear that will lift your spirits up. As it says in that text, lift up your feeble hands. Be strengthened. Be strengthened in Christ. And that is the power of worship. That's really what it is. It's not just here as we do it. We do it together, and this is beautiful. But it is a daily thing that we do. We offer up our worship to God. You know, it might not look like much at times. And you might even leave a place like this without feeling that excitement and that joy, but I guarantee you, God is in this place. And for us, as we open up our hearts and minds to Him and let Him pour into our hearts and minds what He wants to share through the gospel, there is life, there is peace, there is joy in Him. May God bless us in this and keep us in this wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, draw our hearts into Your presence. Lord, we just thank You for Your promise to us and Your grace to us in Jesus Christ. Let Your peace overflow, Lord. Let worship free us and bring us, Lord, closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.